A reading from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 9, verses 2 through 7. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you, as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor you have broken, as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult, and every garment rolled in blood, will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this.
A reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her.
Our reading will be taken from Luke chapter 1, verse 39 to 55. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea. When she entered Zachariah's home and greeted Elizabeth, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greetings reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord will fulfill his promises to her." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but he has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but he has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors, Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. This is the word of the Lord.
A reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 67 to 79. His father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors and to redeem his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven, to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace."
A reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them.
A reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 8 to 20. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Well, let me add my welcome to you tonight. Welcome to our carol service. My name is John. I'm one of the ministers here at Leipzig English Church. I hope these songs that we sing tonight help you to get ready to enjoy and to celebrate this Christmas in a deeper way, maybe, than before. Christmas is a time for peace. We know that, don't we? Families will put aside arguments to gather around the table. Maybe you'll be buying a Christmas present for someone that you have had an argument with this year. Christmas is about peace. There's a famous story of the Christmas ceasefire in World War I. On the 24th of December 1914, for a few hours, British and German troops laid down their guns. They exchanged food, they sung carols, they played a game of football. It was extraordinary. Hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of people had already died by that time in 1914, but both sides crossed over into no man's land. Christmas is about peace. We want peace. We need peace. I'm so sorry, I can see quite a lot of flames outside. Just if someone is keeping an eye on that fire. But it doesn't get too out of hand. We want to enjoy the bonfire later. It's very warm in here. We're all good. Great. We want peace. We need peace. The ironic thing is, even in our efforts to bring about peace, we so often fight, don't we? Look at the Nobel Peace Prize this year. Some thought it should go to Donald Trump. Some thought it should go to someone else. And when it was awarded, there was a great outcry from both sides. Football's governing body, FIFA, even got involved in the fight last week. They created their own peace prize as a sign of peace. That first Christmas, God doesn't just tell us that you and I need peace. God brings peace. I want to draw your attention for a few moments to words spoken by angels. We've sung about them, we've heard them read tonight. I want us to take a few moments to look at those words spoken on a hillside outside of a small town in first century Israel. You can find them in your booklets on page 6, at the bottom of that page on the left hand side, Luke chapter 2, verse 14, sentence 14. It says this: "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." Christmas is about peace, God's great gift to the earth. Caesar Augustus, the man who called the census that took Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem that Christmas, was credited with bringing about peace. His rule started about a 200-year period of peace, the Pax Romana. One inscription describing his reign says this: "Providence has set in most perfect order by giving us Augustus, whom she filled with virtue that he might benefit humankind, sending him as a saviour, both for us and for our descendants, that he might end war and arrange all things." It was during this period of peace that Luke, who wrote these words, was writing. He wants to show us that the events that he speaks of, that the words that those angels sung, really happened. He spoke about real people in real places, real dates. Caesar's peace was bought through war, but God's gift of peace was different. It is far bigger than just political peace. It is more than peace around the Christmas table, or the peace that you might want once the presents are unwrapped and the guests have gone home. It is deeper than the peace you and I long for as we lie awake at night with worry. It is far greater than all of those things, because this peace is peace with God. It is peace from God, peace with God, peace for God. Peace is God's great gift to the earth. It is what he offers you and me through that first Christmas. Maybe you're here tonight and you think, but I'm not at war with God. Why on earth do I need peace with him? Well, aside from it being what God says that we need, actually our experiences tell us that we need it. This world often feels broken, doesn't it? That the joy that we experience at Christmas time doesn't last. The meal is great, but then you've got to wash up. That present is brilliant until it snaps. The chocolate was wonderful until the dog ate it. Which has happened more than once in our house. Maybe for you this Christmas will be marked by loss or dominated by a diagnosis. The suffering that you and I face is a warning sign that all is not right in this world. It is a sign that we need peace. But that's not the only sign that we have. The way you and I treat one another shows something of our relationship with God. I don't mean so much the good bits. Of course, there are moments of deep love for others. That is one of God's great gifts to us, his common grace to the world. But when we are honest, we have an amazing capacity to hurt each other, don't we? To fall out with one another, to think the worst of other people. It's a symptom of our hostile attitude towards God. And yet, instead of war at Christmas, God offers you and me peace. The angels proclaim, on earth, peace to those on whom his favour rests. Christmas is about peace that God gives. But it's not the birth of this baby that brings this peace. It would come through what he would do. Instead of negotiation or mediation to bring peace, or instead of flexing his muscles and displaying his strength, Jesus brought peace by becoming like you and me. He brings peace to rebels by being crushed like a rebel in their place. 30 or so years after these events that we have heard read of tonight, Jesus would be killed on a cross. And as he dies, he takes the thoughts that we have, the cruel words that we might say to one another sometimes. He makes them his own. It's like he takes the war crimes that you and I commit. All the ways that we try and displace God's rule in our lives. He takes that and makes it his own. And so he takes the punishment for it. And he does all that to buy peace. Peace that you and I desperately need with God. A few moments before our reading, the angel said, a saviour has been born, the Messiah, the King that God had promised, who would reign forever, who would rescue his people. He had been born. It's as if the baby clothes that wrapped him were the white flag of peace. You see, the next time that his body is wrapped and laid to rest, it isn't at a birth, it is at a burial. Christmas is about peace that God gives through Jesus. Notice this is something that is open to all. Look at that verse again. Luke 2, verse 14. He says, on earth, peace to the earth. The angels proclaimed this to ordinary shepherds gathered on a hillside. It wasn't to social media outlets, it wasn't to influencers, it wasn't to the great and the good, it was to ordinary people like you and me, that we might enjoy God's peace and not war. There's nothing we can do to earn it. Peace is God's free gift. God's favor is the source. It flows, it pours out from the pure mercy of God. Friends, Christmas is about the greatest gift you and I could ever receive. Have you ever had a gift that you didn't really know what to do with? Maybe you're not quite sure what it is. Maybe you don't really want it. Maybe you're not sure what it's for. Maybe you don't actually like it. Friends, there isn't a person in this world who doesn't need this gift. Not a person in this room who doesn't need the peace that Jesus offers. Maybe you've never accepted this before. Well, you could receive it today. In a few moments, there'll be some music for you and I to listen to. As the brass band play, you could quietly pray in your heart. Lord, I need peace with you. I'm sorry for the way that I have lived. Thank you that you sent Jesus. You could pray something like that right now. If you do, please tell someone afterwards. Please speak to me or to Larry. We'd love to talk to you. Maybe this is a gift that you don't really know what to do with yet. We would love to invite you to Hope Explored. Can we get that slide on screen again, please? Thank you. It's bright, isn't it? A short 3-week course running on Wednesdays in January. Wednesday mornings for women, Wednesday evenings for everyone. It's a great chance to come and ask questions. It's a great chance to learn a bit more about the peace that Jesus offers. A great chance to understand why we think it's so great to sing at Christmas. We'd love to see you there. On those cards that you were given as you came in, there's a QR code that Larry mentioned. Do scan that to book your place or to find out more. Thank you, you can take it off now. Christmas is about peace that God gives through Jesus. We celebrate God's favor coming to earth in a profound and a real way. On that dark hillside, the world was sleeping. Angels sang, "Glory to God in the highest." That is why we love to sing. That is why we have a carol service each year. We join the angel host in that song of praise that will never end. Glory to God in the highest. It is God's work from beginning to end. And so the glory is God's alone. 175 years ago, Charles Spurgeon, a British preacher, said this: "If angels shouted of God's glory before and when the world was made, their hallelujahs were more full, more strong, more magnificent, if not more hearty, when they saw Jesus Christ, born of the Virgin Mary, to be man's Redeemer. Glory to God in the highest." Let me pray for us. Lord God, we thank you that at Christmas time, we get to celebrate your gift of peace. And we ask that wherever we are in our journey, that you would help us to understand more and more of what it means to have peace with you through Jesus. And so would we learn to sing "Glory to God in the highest heaven." In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Our final reading is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 21 to 32. This can be found on page 7. On the eighth day, When it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what was said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations. A light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel."